Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemnay Parish Church. Welcome everyone who is here in person, to those who are watching live online or on our catch-up service during the week. Welcome to worship all today. Just a few intimations to share at the start of our time together. First of all, just a reminder and an update about our Christian aid total. We shared this last week, but it bears repeating because it's a group collective effort, that for Christian aid, that the total is 5,855 plus a further 209 pounds collected from gift aid. So math is not my strong suit, but I believe that puts us over 6,000 pounds for raising for Christian aid. A full report will be available in the August edition of our Kirk News. But again, a huge, huge thank you to all who helped raise that magnificent amount of funds for such an excellent cause. A reminder as well that carrying on until the 14th of August, every Tuesday here in the village for the remainder of our summer, we'll have the youth bus, which will be based at Alehouse Wells Primary School. That's Tuesdays again from 7 to 9 p.m. And if you feel so inclined or feel led to do so, please come down and volunteer some time to spend with our young people as we get to know them better. A reminder as well that coming up on the 5th of August at 4 p.m., that's a Sunday, there'll be a choral evensong at St. Anne's, sung by members of the choir of St. Andrew's Cathedral in Aberdeen under the able direction of Professor Andrew Morrison. And again, that's Sunday, 5th of August, 4 p.m., and best of all, it's free admission. That's the best price to pay, I think, for anything, isn't it? I think now we have an intimation to share about another event coming up in August, but to share about that, I would ask Heather, my wife, to come forward.
As many of you know, our holiday club is returning this year for 2008, and it's the second week in August, and we have a great team of volunteers, but we are still in need of a few volunteers to own snack. And so if you think, oh, I have time available to help at the holiday club, but kids just are not my thing these days, snack is the place for you. So we have a place there. The holiday club is the 7th to 9th of August, Tuesday to Thursday, so we could use someone who could help one day or all 3 days in snack. We also have other areas if you would like to join us in terms of with games and with crafts or registration on Tuesday. So we'd love your help. If you know of any neighborhood children or your own children or grandchildren who are coming, do let us know. You can let myself know. Kylie Gunther's email is in there under the Flat Jesus comment, and you could email their names to her so we know how much supply is to buy. But we'd love to have you guys join that, and specifically we need some help with snacks. So please prayerfully think about joining us for that.
Thank you, Heather. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family at the start of our time today? Well, if you'll indulge me for a second, do you mind if I do a little show and tell? So there is a woman named Ruth Black who lives just outside of Inverness, and she is a textile artist. I found her through the wonder of the internet, of all places. And she designs stoles and other kinds of paraments for church worshiping life. And as you know, I recently passed my 10-year marker as a pastor, and so I decided that I contacted her to commission a new stole for the occasion, and this is what we came up with together. So I'll walk down, up and down the aisle. I don't like to parade myself up and down, but I'll do it just this once. So on the stole, it's the tartan, which is on the back as well, is the clergy tartan. It's the only ancient tartan that belongs to an occupation. So this is what the clergy in the Highlands used to wear once upon a time. And as you see, there's Celtic knotwork woven in with the clergy tartan. Walk up and down as I talk. And who can see what's in the middle of the Celtic knotwork? It's a tree, yes. But it's not just any tree. This is a Western hemlock, which is the official state tree of Washington. So I wanted a stole that showed how Washington and Scotland are forever intertwined in my life as my homes. And on the top is the St. Martin's Cross, which is the one of the prominent crosses of the Iona community here in Scotland. If you didn't know, Martin is also my middle name. And Martin, I was named after my great-grandfather, who, believe it or not, was also a minister. So talk about being claimed before you're even born. So those are all the different symbols that I had woven into the stole. And so every time I put this on, it will remind me of my great-grandpa, of course, but also of the fact that Scotland and Washington are both my homes, and I love them both with all my heart. So. Oh, yeah. Yep. And on the back, pardon me, we'll take it off for a second. Actually, I can't because I've mic'd up. I'll just turn around. On the back, if you can see, I'll lean over. There's another wee cross on the back of the neck. Am I tied up? Here, my glamorous assistant can help me. Thank you. Is the artist's take on what the cross at the top of the Maidenstone might look like. And my very limited knowledge of the Pictish stones is that these crosses were inscribed about between the 6th and the 9th century at the time of Christianization of Scotland, a time when there's rapid change in the religious outlook of the country. And the stone is, as you know, who's been to the Maidenstone before? Probably several, yeah. So it's very weathered, right? It's hard to make it out exactly. And there's speculation that the work on the stone was unfinished. And so I decided that I wanted the cross from the Maidenstone put on the back of the stole to remind me that I am always an unfinished work as well, as are we all as Christians until Christ comes again. So feel free to gawk at it in greater detail later, or if you want to sneak back to the back room and look at it, you're very welcome as well. But that's the reasons for this. So thank you for indulging me. Now, with those intimations and that show and tell done and over with, thank you, we'll enter into our worship now through the gift of music by singing our first hymn of praise to God, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And during the singing of this hymn, your offering for God's continued work will be uplifted.
Let us continue in worship through prayer. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we do recognize today that you are holy, set apart, and yet merciful and mighty, a relational God, the Holy Trinity. We stand in awe of your compassion, your grace, and your love. We hunger to be more like you, Jesus, being quick to offer peace and love, quick to drop the stone instead of throwing accusations, quick to be a giver and a peacemaker. Yet so often, instead of being peacemakers, we demand our own way, are quick to argue instead of quick to listen, or speak in judgment instead of offering grace and peace. Hear us now in the silence as we confess the ways that we've condoned actions of judgment, hate, or gossip this week, perhaps by speaking or staying silent. We confess to you now in the silence. Lord, forgive us personally and as a church, a community, and a world for the ways we have not pursued peace. Thank you that it is for this that you went to the cross and you declared that it is finished. We thank you for all that you have done for us, all that you have sacrificed for us. Help us today to walk out of here knowing our identity in you as children of God, full of your spirit, full of forgiveness and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us the ways of peace, for modeling the ways of love, the ways of discipleship through the Beatitudes, and the ways of prayer through the Lord's Prayer. And so with one voice, we now pray together, saying the prayer that you taught your disciples, saying, Our Father,
welcome our children to come down front and sit with me if they would like for our children's time. Come on down. Have a seat, everyone. Nice to see you all here. Hello, say Joshua. So, as you know, that some of us have been taking our flat Jesus around with us on our travels, and I thought I would.
I want my flat Jesus.
You have it? Did you bring it with you? Oh, that's very good. Well, he's been going on some adventures as well this summer. If we could have it up on the...
That's my flat Jesus.
Let's see. Is that up there? Yep. Good. There's one. There's another one. Mm-hmm. Jesus likes to photobomb, apparently. There's another one. Yes. I think these are in Barcelona and Monte Carlo, so he's been to some pretty exotic places this summer, I think. There's another one. I think that's, and then one more. So indeed. Oh, there's the halo, right? But had to capture a church as well. So he's been on some adventures this summer. It's been great fun to see the travels that Flat Jesus has been up to. But today I'm going to talk to you about something else, about a person who I think is very important, who you may or may not have heard of, but as you get older, you'll hear more about him. And the adults know who this is. Let's see. That is a man. Here's a picture of him right here. He's a nice-looking man, isn't he? This is a man named Nelson Mandela. And we're talking about him because this year, he passed away already, but he would have been 100 years old this year. And he was the first black president of South Africa. And Nelson Mandela has a really, really incredible story, and it ties into what we're talking about in church today. So, there's another picture of him. Do you see the picture there? Where do you think he is? What is that? Where does he look like he is? Do you have any guesses? What are those things on the window there?
Jail.
Jail. That's exactly right, Lewis. Well done indeed. So Nelson Mandela spent about 27 years in jail. Lewis, how old are you?
I'm 5.
You're 5. So imagine being 5 times as old as you are and spending that whole time in jail. That's because there are people in his country who didn't like him very much, because at that time, black people weren't free in South Africa. But he wanted black people to be free. But they put him in jail for some of his views. But you know what? He spent a long, long time in jail. And this is a picture of his jail cell. That's all he had in his room. Do you see that? That's a pretty, pretty, pretty dull-looking room. He had to sleep on the floor, just one little table. So not a whole lot in there. He spent so much of his life in that room. And how would you feel if you were stuck in that room for that long? Would you be pretty upset? That'd be pretty hard, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would be. Absolutely. But you know what? There are so many people around the world, that says Mandela for Freedom, that so many people around the world wanted him to be freed from prison. All sorts of people for a lot of years asked for him to be freed. And then one day in 1990, there he is again. Is he in prison anymore? No, he's not. He was finally freed in 1990, and in 1994, he became the first black president of South Africa. And there are a lot of people who were afraid when he was released from prison that he was going to be angry and want to punish those who put him in jail for so long. Do you think he did that? No, he didn't do that. He became one of the most revered, one of the most wise and respected leaders in the world. Instead of being violent back and hurting those who hurt him, he decided to follow a better way instead. And it's a way that Jesus talks to us about today. It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons and daughters of God." When somebody hurts us or does something wrong to us, it's so easy to get mad, to think about how we want to get back at them. But you know what? To be a peacemaker instead is to choose a better way. To say to somebody who hurts us, "I forgive you, I still love you, I want us to be friends instead." That's how Jesus lived his life. That's how Nelson Mandela tried to live his life as well, by being a peacemaker. Because peace is the best thing we can ever have. It's so easy to get angry, but God wants us to be peacemakers instead. So in your lives with your brothers and your sisters, with your friends, with your family, try very hard, ask God for help to become peacemakers. That's the best way to live, and it will change the world in wonderful ways all around us. So let's pray and ask God for help to become peacemakers, just like Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, in our lives, help us to be peacemakers. Help us to be people who are loving, who are kind, who are good to others. Help us, Lord, to be more and more like you. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All right, you can go have a seat. We continue now in our worship with singing our next song, "He is Lord."
Every knee shall bow, every tongue. Let's read together from the Bible. First of all, from the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians in chapter 1, reading from verse 15. And you'll find it on page 1182 in your pew Bibles if you'd like to follow it. I must admit, as I read this in preparation, my reaction was, wow. I hope you might feel like that too. The supremacy of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation if you continue in your faith established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and which I, Paul, have become a servant. And let's look again at the Beatitudes. And I think you probably have guessed which Beatitude we're looking at this morning. So from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, the first 12 verses, you'll find this on page 968. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Give thanks to the Lord for his glorious gospel.
Thank you, Noel. I share your assessment, Noel. Wow. We continue now in worship with our singing of our next hymn, "O For a Closer Walk with God," verses 1, 2, 5, and 6.
Oh,
Let us pray. Lord, we do yearn for a closer walk with you. Strip away all those things which hinder or harm our faith. Give us new eyes, new hearts, new minds, so that we may see you, know you, and love you more and more. We pray these things in Jesus' name, he who is the living word of God for us. Amen. According to a book entitled The Lessons of History, out of the last 3,421 years of recorded history, it's quite a number, 3,421, only 268 of those years have no record of war. 34:21 verses 268. Find that to be a fairly chilling statement, and it would no doubt be even more so if the facts of our unrecorded history could be known as well. We are all aware that war and violence in our world today, it seems, are constant realities. And today, anyone old enough to understand what is being said on television or through the internet knows that multiple conflicts are being fought at this very moment. We've reached a point, I think, that the struggle is actually to feel appalled at this. It's become such a regular part of our lives. We see so many headlines, so many news stories about this, and we almost feel numb to it sometimes. We're always under the temptation of taking war and violence as a given, as just the way that it is. To be fair, though, there have also been no shortage of attempted paths towards peace. Many shining examples of those who have tried to find a better way. We talked about one earlier with Nelson Mandela, and the fuller story, of course, when he was a younger man affiliated with the ANC in South Africa, that he did endorse the ways of violence as a younger man. It was only after he was released from prison in 1990 and then elected president of South Africa in 1994 that he chose a better way, striving for peace and reconciliation with those who had deprived him and his people of basic rights. We have many examples of people who have tried to live lives of peace, and yet we look at the world around us, and these examples, as luminous as they are, have not reached their full goal. Now, the answer to war and violence in our world is not simply a matter of the one or two very luminous figures. It's not a matter of bootstrap ethics, of hiking ourselves up and trying harder. The answer to the problem of war and violence, it's a profoundly spiritual answer that is needed. What is needed is a supernatural change in the human race if we are ever to have peace. We all know the golden rule, right? What's the golden rule? Do to others. I heard the rumblings of it, yes? That's a fine way to live. But no one can live by the golden rule by mere human effort. No one can master even one of these beatitudes that we've been discussing by his or her own strength. In one sense, peace is impossible for humans, as mere humans. But that's not the end of the story, thankfully. Peace is something that we yearn for in our world. We yearn for it. We hope and we pray for the day to come when peace shall reign. And so I wonder if there's no more relevant beatitude than the one we're looking at today. Blessed are the peacemakers, the text tells us from Matthew's gospel, for they will be called sons of God. That's how it's usually translated. But a quick, fun language lesson, at least I think they're fun. Greek plurals, when it talks about men, include both genders. So when it talks about sons of God, we can take full liberty and say sons and daughters of God. Okay? And like the previous beatitudes that we have considered, this one begins with that wonderful word, makarios. Blessed, you lucky bums, we've heard. This makarios word indicates God's approval of living in such a way, because living in such a way, living as gospelized people, as makarios, blessed, lucky bum people, requires absolute dependence on the Holy Spirit living and working in our lives. And so Jesus pronounces his makarios blessing upon the peacemakers, upon those in whom the Holy Spirit is living and working, bringing peace not just to ourselves in our own troubled hearts, but also making us active instruments of peace, peacemakers in the wider world. And it's worth pausing and reflecting on this word, peacemaker. Take the first half of the word. The word peace. In the Greek, the word is eirene. The equivalent word in the Hebrew Old Testament is a word we may know, shalom. Who has here heard the word shalom before? Yes, indeed. Right? If you ever have the chance to celebrate Shabbat or Sabbath with our Jewish friends, the greeting on Sabbath is Shabbat shalom. Rest and peace. Now, the word shalom and the word eirene are both very rich words that have huge meaning that our word peace simply doesn't fully capture. It talks about idea of holistic wholeness, right? Well-being, that when you wish someone shalom or eirene or peace, it's wishing another more than just the absence of trouble, but everything that makes for a complete and whole life. It is much more than just the absence of outright conflict. We often think about peace as just the absence of conflict. But the kind of shalom, the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about, it encompasses the whole person. It is positive. This kind of peace is not just the absence of conflict. It is a healing, transforming peace. So that's the kind of peace we're talking about. But then the second half of the word, makers, peace and makers. This demands that we understand that the person in whom the Holy Spirit lives and works is not a passive, but an active source of peace. As it's used here, it's a dynamic word that's bursting with energy. And both parts of these words, peace and maker, taken together, describe a gospelized individual, one who actively pursues the fullness of God's peace in its fullness. A peacemaker pursues much more than just the absence of conflict. pursues wholeness and well-being. I think about the imagery of, you know, holiday time gathered around the table with family or friends. And I think we all know there are certain subjects you don't tend to bring up around a table if you want to maintain peace and civility at a time of celebration, right? We all have this feeling before, I'm sure, from one reason or another. Like in my home right now in Washington State, one of my homes, that we don't talk politics for probably glaringly obvious reasons, right? As we often think of making peace in that situation as simply not addressing the elephant in the room, of not raising the subject, of not provoking or making people angry. And that's part of it. But that's not the only kind of peace that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about a much deeper, holistic, relational, loving kind of peace, where even if we have disagreements with each other, we can even see past those and holistically love the other person in front of us, even if he or she sees the world in a wildly different way. That's more about the kind of peace and peacemaking, I think, that Jesus is talking about. So bearing this in mind, we can then understand what a peacemaker is not. A peacemaker is not the kind of person who is just easygoing and laissez-faire, who does not care what anyone else does as long as it doesn't directly affect her or him. Right? Neither is the peacemaker always tolerant, simply saying, you do you and I'll do me. Nor is the peacemaker, the biblical peacemaker, an appeaser, the kind who will go for peace at any price, and the kind of surface level peace. Because appeasement is not peace. It just puts off the conflict for a later time. At the risk of hitting a sore spot, the history of Europe in the 1930s is a great example of how appeasement does not work. And so the true biblical peacemaker is not afraid of making waves. So what is a peacemaker like? A peacemaker, to begin with, is characterized by a sense of honesty. How this applies to real life. Because all too often, in our attempts to make peace, we tend to putty over the cracks, to ignore problems and conflict, and to pretend everything is fine when it really isn't. And do we remember the definition of fine? Freaked out, insecure, needy, emotional. We should aim for so much more than just fine. A peacemaker is honest. A peacemaker is also willing to risk pain. Because any time we attempt to bring God's peace personally or in society, we risk misunderstanding, we risk failure. It's not that we will be misunderstood or we will fail, but we must risk these things for real peace. So these two qualities of the peacemaker, honesty and a willingness to take risks, lead us to our next characteristic of what a peacemaker is. And this may seem like a contradiction, but I don't think it is. A peacemaker is a fighter. A peacemaker is a fighter. He makes trouble, she makes trouble to make peace. We as Christians, as peacemakers, are called to wage peace. God's word calls us to such peacemaking, telling us to, in Ephesians, to make every effort, to wage every effort, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. In Romans, to make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification, benefit, building up. Again from Romans, insofar as possible, as far as it depends on you, wage peace with everyone. St. Francis of Assisi understood this call well in his famous words, make me an instrument of your peace. An active instrument of peace. Where there is hatred, may I bring love. Where offense, may I bring pardon. Where may I bring union in the place of division. The peacemaker must be permeated with the shalom peace of God, with gentleness. The true peacemaker refuses to be satisfied with cheap peace. The peacemaker is willing to risk pain and misunderstanding to make things right. Peacemakers will fight for peace. And of course, our Lord Jesus himself is the ultimate peace wager, the ultimate peacemaker. We heard it said today that there was nothing cheap about the kind of peace that he made in Colossians. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. Does reconciliation happen by itself? Is reconciliation hard work sometimes? Is it sometimes the hardest work to overcome a divide between two people? As hard as that is, it's even harder to overcome the divide between us and God. But that's what Colossians tells us Jesus did. He reconciled to himself all things, things on earth, things in heaven, all of the cosmos, all of creation, by waging peace, by making peace through his blood shed on a cross. Sometimes people ask me, why did Jesus have to die? Why couldn't he just wave his arm and make peace? It's because he saw the gravity of our problem, of our stark alienation from God, realized the gravity of the situation, and knew what was required to win us back to God. And only a drastic solution would suffice to win and to wage peace. And so he made peace, the same root word as peacemaker in Matthew 5, through his blood. Jesus is our supreme example of sacrificial aggression. Sacrificial aggression in making and bringing peace. We cannot overemphasize the radical nature of the call to be peacemakers. Peacemaking, as commanded, as blessed by Jesus, is not a natural human quality. It is above human nature. And that's why examples like Nelson Mandela strike us so deeply. We see people who endure such violence and mistreatment, and we expect them to give back the same tenfold. That's the way we expect the world to work. I remember reading recently, it was one particular U.S. president, I won't name him, who said when he's punched, he punches back 10 times harder. We all know who I'm talking about, right? And that's how we tend to expect the world to work. But peacemaking is such a higher, holier calling. And apart from God, it's impossible. Peacemaking cannot take place without a radical change in the human heart and the power of the Holy Spirit. And this inner change, becoming a peacemaker, this is what it's all about. And the text tells us that those who are peacemakers should be called sons and daughters of God. When we become peacemakers with God working in us, we have divine paternity and inheritance from above. So what title does God assign to us? In our own lives, Are we becoming peacemakers or peace takers? Do we add or detract from the lives of others, from our own lives? Do we seek to show Christ to others? Do we seek to see Christ in others? Up to this point, all of the Beatitudes build on one another. This call to be peacemaker, this blessing of being a peacemaker, is built on what has come before. The Beatitudes start with poverty of spirit, the fact that our hands and our pockets are empty, that we need God's help. They continue with blessing those who mourn for the state of the world, who know that all is not right. They continue by blessing those who are meek, those who live in the time between the times. Then it goes on to those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Then from there we go on to blessing upon those who are merciful, those who are pure in heart. Now finally we come here to those who have been so infused by Christ's shalom, by the character of the kingdom, that all of these things have led to this point of becoming peacemakers. Peacemakers are those through whom the entire Beatitudes course again and again, sometimes in order, sometimes out of order, sometimes singly, sometimes all together. Peacemakers have the character of the king and the kingdom. So are we peacemakers? I won't ask for a show of hands. What I will say, though, is right now that no matter what has come before, we can begin in our lives to make peace right now. Where is there conflict in your life? Where is there violence in your life? Does it feel unsolvable? Does it feel insurmountable? If so, the gospel says otherwise, that our call as gospelized people is to be peacemakers. So right now we can ask God to make us new creations. Right now we can ask God for the grace to wage peace. Let's ask God for these things now. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the true and great peacemaker. We pray that your shalom, your true holistic peace, would flow into each of our lives anew. Where there is sadness, bring us joy. Where there is conflict, bring reconciliation. Where there is hatred, would you plant your seeds of love. May your Spirit wash over us anew. May it wash over every part of who we are. Make us active peacemakers. We pray in Jesus' name, who is the Prince of all peace. Amen. Being a peacemaker doesn't happen by itself. And we need God's help to make us channels of his peace. And so we sing together now. As we were singing that song, I was struck by the fact that when Jesus first appeared to his disciples after he was raised, what were the first words that Jesus said to his disciples? Peace be with you. Shalom. Holistic, healing peace be with you. We gather to meet the same Jesus at this table. And as we gather together as God's people around this table, Jesus says, peace be with us as well. His peace, not as the world gives, but as only God can give to us. It is because Jesus offers us his peace that we can lay all of our cares upon him. For it is from Jesus that we receive the peace and the nourishment that we need for our journey as his disciples. It is here from Jesus that we receive courage and renewed faith to live into the gospel. And this table and these elements, they do not belong to Kemne Parish Church. They do not belong to the Church of Scotland. They belong only to Jesus. And all who trust in him, even just a little, are welcome to partake in this feast together. So come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because you are calm, but because you are very much in need of peace. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you the right to do so, but come to this table because you need God's mercy and help. Come because you love Jesus just a little and would like to learn to love him more. Come because he loves you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, the Prince of Peace, for we are his body. And may the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Paul writes to us in 1 Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed into the hands of sinners, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again in glory." The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Eternal God, holy and mighty, it is truly right and our greatest joy to give you our thanks and our praise, to worship you in every place where your glory abides. You lay the very foundations of the cosmos, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They shall perish, but you shall endure forever. You are always the same, and your time will never come to an end. You have fashioned each of us in your image. You have called us to be your people. But we have turned away from you time and again, leaving sin, death, and discord to reign. But still, your great love sought us out. And in Jesus Christ, your grace and your peace defeated death and has reopened the way to life eternal. And therefore we join with all of your people in every time, in every place, proclaiming, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for us. Do this and take of this in remembrance of him. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, this cup is the new and renewed covenant, sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is shed that the sins of a limitless many might be forgiven. Drink from it all. And may the shalom peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, be with you all. Let us now show each other a sign of God's peace.
Let us bring our prayers for the world. Let us pray. Father God, you created a world that was perfect. Through our actions and our lack of action, it is broken and damaged. There is pollution, there is corruption, and there is discontent. Relationships have broken down, conflict and wars have taken over. Everyone is more concerned with being right and proving a point than in honouring you. We have become directionless and selfish. Today we pray for those countries where peace is a distant memory, where whole generations of children have grown up in a world where violence is the norm. We pray for those who have been injured and for the long-term physical, emotional, and psychological damage. We think particularly of those in Yemen at this time as they continue to battle with constant attacks, starvation, and lack of medical care. Show us where you need us to be in that place. We pray also for the people of Afghanistan and those directly affected by the attack in Jalalabad. We pray for your comfort and your healing. We pray for those affected by the extremes of weather. In particular, we remember those caught up in the wildfires in California and for the families of those lost or killed, especially the families of the firefighters who lost their lives protecting others. Just this morning, 10 people lost their lives in an earthquake in Indonesia. May your presence be felt in that community as people rebuild their lives from the rubble and mourn the loss of loved ones. We are fortunate that there are so many people across the world who are more than willing to dedicate their lives to improving the lives of others. We give thanks now for the members of the armed services, the police officers, the fire officers, the medical staff, and all who work in our hospitals and schools. We thank you that they are prepared to commit so much of their time and talents to improving the lives of others. There are also those who want to share your gospel with the world. In particular, we thank you for those who work with children and young people over the summer months at Scripture Union camps and events such as the recent Soul Survivor, where thousands of young people were given the opportunity to get to know you better at four venues over the UK. We thank you for the vision and dedication of the staff in bringing these youngsters together to help them see the width, breadth, and heights of your love and what it can mean to them in their lives. As they return to their daily lives, may they continue to know your love and may it shine from them into the hearts and minds of those around them. Closer to home, our hearts and prayers go out to those known to us in our own family or community in special need of your loving comfort just now. We pray in particular for Evelyn Colley and her family, Ted Reed and his family, and for the relatives of the other victims of Thursday's horrific car accident. We pray for your healing for those who were injured and for peace and comfort for those who have lost loved ones, both locally and in Italy. In the silence, we name those known to us who are in special need of our prayers today. Show us how we can best share your light and your love in these situations. You call your people to be the peacemakers of the world, to be your hands and feet in places of trouble, to be your calming voice in places of anger and strife, bringing messages of hope from you to the places of fear and danger. May we always strive to commit our whole selves to you, so that you may use us to spread your love and your peace in this place. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Fiona. We now sing our closing hymn of praise to God. Take my life and let it be. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called sons and daughters of God. Go forth from this place and wage peace in every aspect of your life. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon each of us and upon all who we love this day and forevermore.